Thank you, Bobby. Way, how are you? Good morning. I am so glad to be back with you today. It's a wonderful day in the Lord. I want to share with you all something about this church. I've spoken many times here before and just honored that your pastor would ask me to come back. I have known Chuck and Sally Brannon. First of all, I want to say this. I've known them over 50 years. That is amazing if you think about it. Half a century I've known them since our Palm Beach Atlantic college days together. And I also want you all to know that I pray for this church on a regular basis. Because you see, I live up in the north part of Palm Beach County. And there is occasion when I have to come down to Fort Lauderdale or, Lord forbid, Miami. But whenever I go by the exit that says Gateway, I think of you all and I pray for you all. Now, one thing I do not do when I'm driving down I-95 and I'm praying, I do not close my eyes and bow my head. No way. I'm not one of those people that you're confronted with. No, I pray you all the time. Whenever I see that, I'm a landmark kind of person, not theologically, but when I see something that reminds me of something, then I bring it to the Lord in prayer. And so I pray for you all on a regular basis. And I'm just very, very glad to be here. When Chuck called me and asked me to speak. Oh, by the way, now, as I'm talking, if I get boring or whatever, I wore the shirt just especially for you. It has little palm trees on it. You can look at the palm trees and, you know, think about what you're going to have for lunch. And that'll be fine. I understand. If I see all of you just staring at my shirt, I'll know it's time to quit. But anyway, when Chuck told me about the new message series that he was starting, I hung up the phone. I started thinking. I said, Lord, what should I share? And the Lord put an account in my mind that I've never preached on this before, but I've known this account and read it and seen it, and but I've never preached on it before. The message is entitled, How Should We Then Live? Some of you may remember a book from a number of years ago by Dr. Francis Schaeffer. If you haven't read this book, you ought to. It's a great book. It's prophetic now in lots of ways. Francis Schaeffer takes us through in the book about Western civilization and the rise of Christianity and Protestantism and the great things that came out of Western civilization. Freedom and democracy and all this other. And then he starts to share how that was in the 70s. And it's prophetic now, if you read it. So the title is, How Should We Then Live? And I'm sharing this with you all today because of, number one, what Chuck shared with me about his new sermon title. Number two, the situation we all find ourselves in as I'm looking for the first time at a bunch of masked people and all of that and all of the other stuff that's going on in the world. And so I just wanted to bring this message to you. And I am preaching from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Actually, 1 through 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. We're going to go through this bit by bit. And we're going to learn from this. And lest you think that, that's great. Number one, it's in the Old Testament. Number two, ancient history. Number three, we're going to find that this stuff is extremely relevant to our times today. So if you have your Bibles on your phones or if you've got your Bibles or whatever, I want to start with this. Start right. And before I begin, though, I want us to pray. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. And I thank you for Gateway. I thank you for the dedication and love of Chuck, Pastor Chuck, and Sally, and all of the good that they have done through the years. Lord, bless them in this time away. And we offer this, Lord, as our offering today to you. And may it be a blessing unto you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything that you provide. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Judges chapter 6. It's the account of Gideon. A lot of people know Gideon's. No, I'm not talking about the people that put the Bibles in the hotels. The Gideon. Most of you all know the account of Gideon, and I'm I'm going to, I'm, you know, there is the good stuff that's in the middle where Gideon conquers the Midianites and the fleece and all of those accounts. Well, I'm kind of a strange dude because when I was in kindergarten, I'll tell you this story before I start. When I was in kindergarten, the teacher gave all of us an assignment. She said, here's your crayon and here's your piece of paper, and I want you to draw a line in one direction on the piece of paper. And everybody do that now. So we all drew one line on the piece of paper. She said it could be any direction you want to, whatever. So, and now I want you to take all the other, I want you to take your crayon and I want you all the other lines with that one line so there's none that are crossing. The theme of it was uniformity, and that's well, good, and fine for kindergartners. Well, at the end, she did a show and tell, and she took all of our papers. We had signed them on the back, put our names, and she said, here's Susie's, and oh, she did all of hers this way, and here's Bobby's. Oh, here's, he did them all. All the kids either did this or this, except one kid, corner to corner. That was me. I look at things differently sometimes. And so as I'm looking at this Judges chapter 6, I'm seeing some things that are extremely relevant to how we should then live. But before we get to the good stuff, we have to look at the preface. Because context is everything in the Bible. If you take something out of, you can take so much out of context in the Bible. We don't want to do that. We want it in the context of the way that it is supposed to be. For example, if I said to you, he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. We all know that from Psalms. That's a wonderful, wonderful verse. But an argument can be made, well, what about the 967,427,412 other hills? What about them? He doesn't own them. See, you have to have the context. So we're looking at the context here today, and we start with the very first verse. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So there's our starting point. They did evil. Something happened. Here's the reason why there was a Gideon. Because, first of all, there was an evil that happened in the land. Now, lest you think that this is just going to be a nice history lesson or something, au contraire, mon frère, this is going to be about us where we are today in America. Because you see, way back before many of you all were even born, there was something that happened within our Supreme Court called, I forgot the name of it, but what it was they took prayer out of schools. You all remember, some of you are nodding, and you remember when that happened. And there was such an uproar, but we went on. Well, look, and let's see where we are today. From that judgment that was made, and don't worry, I'm not going to get too political here today, but from that judgment today, I read just this morning, get this, that in the state of California, the governor has decreed that an individual who is transgender, who becomes incarcerated in the state penal system of California, can want to go to. I want you to think about that for a minute. Take that to an extreme and think about that. What does that mean? That means that potentially a serial rapist can say, oh, no, I'm a woman, and get to go to the woman's prison. That's where we are today. That's where we are. And here is a situation very similar to where we are today. So then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. We pray and we hope and we ask God for his blessings. And we sing, or we used to sing. That's America, remember that? But now we can't sing that anymore. Or we don't sing that anymore. But in truth, it should be turned around. America should bless God. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be about. God has blessed America, but now we find ourselves and we're saying, why? What's going on? What has happened here? What has happened? And so look what happened to the people of Israel. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. It was, whatever Israel had sown, Midianites came up also, Amalekites, and the people of the east came up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy. So here's the picture. You have this group of people who look over into Israel and see this plenteous nation. And in that, they go, I'd like to have some of that. And they would go over and they would raid. And they would destroy property and they would steal. And they would take it all back to the point that the people of Israel were having to hide in caves and take their animals and their livestock and their crops and whatever they could do and hide in the caves. It was just last week, my wife said to me, just in passing, I just want to stay in my house. Anybody else that's going, I want to hide away from all this stuff to be going on in the world. I want to get away from this. I don't want any of this. And lest you not believe it, folks, there are Midianites in the land that are destroying property and doing terrible things. If you don't believe me, well, then let's all, we can't fly. We don't want to fly. Fear. But let's all drive to Portland, Oregon, and have a nice prayer walk through downtown Portland on any given night and just see how wonderful Portland is. I don't think we'd be doing that, right? Why? Because there are people there that are destroying. I'll beat you up, whatever. You know, I've had a personal kind of thing recently. Well, we're confronted, and you know, the devil in my shoulder says, I'd be the tar pitch and turpentine if somebody comes up to me. And I would just, you know, I'd go after him. I'd get in their face just as much as they were in mine. That's my nature. My human nature would just, I'll show you. But then I saw something that I'll share with you in just a moment that changed my heart. It just yesterday. I would stand there and start praying for those individual people, those kids who are using the F-bomb every other word, who kind of don't know what they're saying, much less know what they're doing. And I would pray for their hearts and ask the Lord Jesus to come down in a mighty and powerful way and change them. But there are Midianites that are in our land and they're destroying things. And they are, as it says, like locusts. Now look at this next verse. Where we started with they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord took his hand off of Israel. The Midianites came. Can anybody associate with this a little bit? So, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. This is what I shared just a little bit earlier, that many of you all probably did not see. It was not on the news, but yesterday, 50,000 Christians were in Washington, D.C., going. They had seven stations in front of Congress, in front of the White House, Washington Monument, all these different places, going from station to station. It was organized by Franklin Graham, and it was wonderful. We watched it on television. And it was just a blessing to behold. But there was a song that was sung. I've already talked to Bobby about this, and I hope he'll sing it for you soon. It's called Hello God, Come in God, I believe it is. Earth to God, that's the name of it. Earth to God. Watch for that song. You're going to hear that song more and more. You can probably Google it and watch it on your phones. Don't watch it now, please. But watch it after church, and it is an earnest prayer. Oh, God, please, please come upon our nation once again. Please, we need you so desperately. the writer of the song, they interviewed him yesterday, and he said, this song came to me in 30 minutes. It was less than 30 minutes that God gave me this song to sing. Plea, that's our cry now. We are crying out to God, earth to God, come in, God, we need you. We need you now. We need you in a mighty and powerful and wonderful way. So we cry out to the Lord, and that's where we are right now. This is so relevant to where we are right now, I believe. And here's what happened. Verse 7, it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Let me stop right there. Whenever you see in the Bible where it says, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that means that God is about to share with you something really, really important, and you better listen up. Jesus said it in this way in the King Jimmy. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Some translations say, thus say I unto you, or you get it. When Jesus prefaces something, that means, listen up, I'm about to tell you something extremely important. So what do we have here? I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the land, out of the hand of the Egyptians, of all who have been, drove them out before you and gave you this land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. 1963, California, look where we are, folks. I'm not going to sit here and give you hellfire and damnation, but I just want you all to observe. One good, great thing about you all is here you are in the middle of COVID-19, and you're worshiping God. You're all separated. You've all got your masks on. That's great. But you made the conscientious choice to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. Amen. So I want you to reach up, put your hand out just like this. Now reach, watch your back, pat yourself on the back for being in church. There you go. Excellent. That's great. That's the beginning. But this is, you know what this is? Church is like whenever you watch a football game. It's the huddle. And that's great. But here's something you've never heard in a football game by an announcer. Boy, that team, they lost 47-0, but their huddles were fantastic. You've never heard that at a football announcer. Why? Because the huddles really don't, they're important because that's where you get the instructions of the play, but it's when the break goes and you get to the line and you line up and the execution of the play that you formed in the huddle, that's where the water hits the wheel. So this is the huddle. So when the last amen is given, that's the equivalent in a football game of break. And we're all going to the line. It's called life. And that's where we execute the play. So here, God says, you messed up. You have not obeyed my voice. So God sends a prophet. And now he's going to send an angel. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Oprah. That's not the lady on television. Was in Oprah, which belonged to Joash the Abizite, forgive me for messing this up, while his son Gideon threshed wheat on the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Why in the wide world of sports is Gideon threshing wheat in a winepress? He's hiding it. And you're saying, well, that's kind of nice. Well, let's bring this home. How many of you all have computers at home? How many of you all have passwords on your computers? Why? It's just a machine. It can't harm you. Why do you have a password on there? Because you're trying to hide all of the things that you have made for yourself. How many of you all have gotten a phone call from somebody says, and your bill is way overdue and you need to call this number? Or something like that. How many of you all gotten those numbers, those phone calls? And you go, you know, I don't answer my phone. Bobby called me yesterday to give me some more information. I didn't answer it because I hadn't put Bobby's number in my phone yet. So I didn't answer it. So he left a message. Thank you, Bobby. So then I called him back. You know, it's the world we live in. We're having to hide and do things in strange ways to protect ourselves, just like Gideon was having to do. But here an angel comes. Now, the cool thing about the angel is most of the commentaries that I've read, I love this. This was the pre-incarnate Jesus. Jesus, before he came in the flesh, comes here. Many commentators say this is the pre... Why would this be important to Jesus? Well, he's kind of... He wants to make sure that the people of Israel survive and don't just go the way of history. Well, why is that important? Well, because there's a guy named David that's going to come along and form a lineage. Well, why is that important? Because it's out of the lineage of David that Jesus would come in the flesh. So you see, he comes here. And look what he says to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." I love that. What a beautiful, beautiful expression. I remember years ago, also in Washington, when I went to the Promise Keepers meeting, there were like a million guys there. I took my wife, we visited some relatives, and before we left, it happened right on her birthday. And so we were organizing a group of people to come from Del Cerro Baptist Church to go to Washington. And she said, "So what are you going to do for my birthday?" And I said, "God gave me this. I've invited 1 million men to Washington, D.C. She didn't buy that. Homie, don't play that. But anyway, I remember a million guys. There we all were, mighty men of valor. And we all sang together a song, "Rise Up, O Man of God." And ladies, don't be put off by this. Mighty people of valor. Mighty people of valor. The Lord is with you. You mighty man of valor. Here's the important word in here that I love. You. It's a three-letter word. And it means everything. And we're going to see it means a whole lot more than you think in just a moment. But look what Gideon says. Here's a typical human response. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord." I don't know if he said it like, "Oh, my Lord," or how he said this, whether he said it plaintively or whether he said it cynically. I think it's cynical because of what we see after this. "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles with our fathers, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord from Egypt and has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites?'" Notice the difference in his response to what the angel said to him. The Lord's with you. And he deflates it. Number one, he takes the angel through a history lesson that he knows already, and he uses the word "us." It's like seven times "us" and "our" that is there. Us. It's a deflection. It's a cynical deflection. And this is the warning. But look how the angel comes right back at him. "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" The important word here, folks, is you. What can I do? How should we then live? What can I do? I happen to believe that God calls each and every one of us. Some to ministry, but some it may be to minister to a grandson. Some it may be to minister to someone where you work or that Zoom meeting that you've got coming up. God clearly delineates what our callings are, and they are individual to each and every one of us. And God has called every one of you to something. It may be something like to be a missionary somewhere. Those are the biggies. But in the day-to-day stuff of life, in the midst of the tyranny of the urgent, God says to each one of us this. It may be to turn to that person as you're standing in line at Walmart who kind of opens the door spiritually or says something or turns back to you and says something, and God says, now's the time. Pull the trigger. Go for it. You know what I'm talking about. We've all had those experiences, and I'll be the first to confess, there are times when I've blown it, where I go, no, Lord, come on. I got to be over here in 30 minutes. I can't talk. Besides, we're both wearing masks, and what is it? You know, just like Gideon, I make up 1,000 excuses. Remember that full poster, I want you for the United States Marine Corps. And wherever you, whenever you, if you ever see that, try walking beside it one way or another, and Uncle Sam just follows you wherever you're going, you know. There is a statue up in Tennessee. It's a statue about 6 foot high or so, and it's the face of Jesus. And I think it's near Sevierville, Tennessee. And the eyes are such that wherever you walk, Jesus just watches you like this. I was with a lady, we did a tour up there years ago, and she kept walking around and looking and walking, trying to test the Lord, you know, if he was watching. Finally, she turned and said, I don't like that. He's looking at me all the time. I don't like that. I loved it. I thought it was great. Why? Because his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. Amen to that. So he's watching us. So he's looking. He's making it personal here. That you go. Go and do that. Let's go. So he said to him, verse 15, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. It is a singular thing that he is saying to him. Now, we know most of the rest of the story of this. What happens is Gideon doesn't trust him. Gideon says, give me his fleece. I want a fleece. And, you know, make the fleece wet and the land around it dry. And God does that. And then he says, well, make the land around it wet and the fleece dry. And God does that. And because of that experience and some other tests that Gideon, and we're all this way, we're all Gideons in many ways, because we're going, I'm not sure. I don't know. Lord, are you sure? Because of that, what happens is that God gives Gideon a faith lift by simply and plainly Gideon has a number of people of Israel who's going to go and fight the Midianites, and God keeps whittling it down and whittling it down and whittling it down until there's only 300 of them. And they're going to face this mass army that are like locusts. And God does his wonderful, wonderful work in defeating the Midianites. You can read all of that later. But I wanted you to see the connections here. But here I want you to turn over, if you will. Turn over to chapter 8, verse 22. Because here you see the change of Gideon's heart. Remember, the dude that was in the threshing floor, in the wine press, who's cynical, who says, oh my Lord, what are you talking about? Where are you, God? We've missed you. Look over in 8:22. It's all over with. Gideon has wiped out the Midianites. They're gone. They're history. He did it with 300 people. It's an absolute miracle of God. And so, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son and your grandson. Also, for you, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. Look at Gideon's response. Here it is. But Gideon said to him, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you, but the Lord shall rule over you. There's the secret. When the Lord is in charge, when the Lord rules and the Lord reigns in your life, there is rhythm and rhyme. And when he doesn't, it's a rumble. Hey, that rhymes. I like that. That's one of those pastor's alliteration things. When the Lord rules in your life, there is rhythm and rhyme. There's a thing that lines up. I don't know what you'd call it, but God's in control. God is in charge. When he rules in your life with you, don't talk about, well, if the president would only, no, with you. Well, what if the government would only, no, with you. Well, if the school board would only, no, you. God gives you. God gives me. God gives each one of us an assignment. And it's our calling to be responsive to that. Speaking of the you, and this is the most political I'll get all morning long. You have an opportunity coming up in a very short while to vote. All I will say, and don't worry, I'm not going to add, I do not believe in advocacy of any, I believe in separation of church and state. But if you don't vote, you have no right to complain about anything the government does over the next 4 years. Don't vote? Great. Don't complain. Can't be like Gideon. You have the opportunity to vote. How you vote is up to you. You know how the general thing that I do every time the election comes? Here's my rule of thumb. Don't worry, I'm not being political. I choose the lesser of two evils. I have voted both Democrat and Republican. And I look at both of the candidates and I say, which one of these people, which one of these birds is the lesser of two evils? Because there's nobody that is as pure as the driven snow. I don't care who they are. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nails all of us. Which one of these, not just aligns with the way I believe, but which one is the lesser of two evils? And based upon that, I vote for that person. And all I'm saying to you is, it is important that you vote. It really is. It is always important that we've been given this wonderful right, and we need it. October 19th, I believe, is the first time that you can vote in person at the polling places. You can mail-in vote and all that stuff. That's great. Personally, there's too many hands that it passes through. I don't go that route. I do it. I'm waiting for October the 19th, and then I'm going to get down there, and I'm going to vote. And I encourage you to do the same. But going back to the spiritual here, you, the word is you. God looks at each one of us, and he says, you have something I want you to do. And you have a choice there. You can either listen up, or you can start playing games with God. You've got to remember, God's sovereign. God is everywhere. God knows everything. He knows our hearts. Gideon tries it here when he goes with the us route. Moses, remember Moses? Where Moses, he started stammering. He said, Lord, I'm a stammerer. I can't. Don't worry about it, Moses. I'll be with you. Here's the good news for all of us. God is with you. In the midst of your struggles and your battles and your hardships, God is with you. Do not be afraid. That's the mantra of the angels. They say this over and over and over again in Scripture. Don't be afraid. Says it to the shepherds over Bethlehem. Says it to Mary. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear rule you. Let faith rule you. Put faith. My dad used to say, why do we doubt our faith and put faith in our doubts? It doesn't make any sense. Why not put faith in your faith and doubt your doubts? That's the way to do it, not the other way around. Put faith in what God has in front of you because he has a tremendous, tremendous mission for your life. I love the songs this morning because if you go back and look at those songs, they say, I will do that. I will worship you, Lord. It's all personal. And we serve a personal God. It's not a massive group of whatever. We all individually come here of our own volition to worship the one true God who loves you so much, John 3:16, Christianity in a nutshell, that he sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's for you. and it's for every other person. I love that your pastor, Chuck, has always been an evangelist. And he stands here and he proclaims to all of you and encourages you every single Sunday. And it's wonderful. But he is one man, and God has given him a mission. And he has fulfilled that mission for many, many years. And he has blessed many, many people. I was at his 50th anniversary, and I heard your testimonies. And I sat back, my wife and I, and said, wow, look how he has blessed this church by what you shared about him. But he is one man, and his hope and his prayer is that you will be that one out there, not in the huddle, but out there, to reach that is waiting for you, because as the old song says, you're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only Jesus. Is it getting any easier? No, because we've got too many people hiding in the caves spiritually. We need to come out of the caves, and we need to get busy with what God has given each and every one of us to do and to be, and watch as his blessings and his miracles, like Gideon and the Midianites and the people of Israel, like it all, watch as it turns around as we accept the mission and as we go for it for God. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, I thank you so much for Gateway Baptist Church. I thank you for these people who are here today. Lord, bless them, protect them, watch over them, and most importantly, guide them from this place to be that one, to that one that needs to hear the gospel, that needs to know that they are loved, to needs to know that they have not been forgotten, that they have not been forsaken. Lord, help us all to accept our assignments as Gideon and be. I thank you, Father, for Gateway. And Lord, may it truly be a gateway to this community in the future as it has been through the years. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these wonderful people. And I ask that you would bless them and be with us as we all march forward for you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Moody, for that fantastic message.